Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Jim Roddy, and we are back from our break, Heroes, and we are joined by Eric Zarin, who is the chairman of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission and has been joining us from week to week to tell us stories about heroes. Eric, thank you for joining us again, and what stories do you have for today?
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. Always a pleasure to talk to you. So let's start with the case of Terry E. George from 2004. He, along with a co-rescuer, Delmar R. Burkholder, helped to rescue, they both together effected a rescue of and Alexandria D. Hopper from burning in New Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That was on October 7th, 2004. Alexandria, who was only 8 at the time, was in a bedroom in one end of her family's ranch house when leaking natural gas exploded in the basement in the early morning. And much of the structure collapsed. Flames broke out on it and began to spread quickly. A neighbor, Mr. George, who was 59 and a construction estimator, saw the fire while driving by. He stopped at the scene and was reporting the fire when another neighbor, Mr. Burkholder, who had responded, informed him that Alexandria and her sister were still in the structure. The men ran to the end of the house containing Alexandria's bedroom and found the sister sitting just outside the structure, near where a hole had been blown in the bedroom wall. As the other man took the sister to safety, George entered the bedroom through the hole and found Alexandria in her bed, trapped there by fallen debris. He tried to free her by attempting to lift the debris and kick apart the bed, but he was unsuccessful. The other neighbor, Mr. Burkholder, then joined him and likewise worked to free Alexandria. As flames encroached, including below them in the basement, overhead in the roof structure, and at points in the bedroom, the men with difficulty pulled Alexandria free. They fled the house with her, and they all recovered from that incident.
I guess they had to run through fire to get out.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, there was fire throughout the structure, and also, you know, anytime there's an explosion, it creates additional perils as far as, you know, egress. But working together, we like to see the joint cases where strangers work together and in sync. And again, we talk so often about the impulse to help and to act. And so often it seems that, you know, there's also some type of common unspoken communication that kicks in moments of very extreme stress and peril.
Yeah, there's not exactly time to chat about how you're going to make this rescue.
Yeah. No time to make a plan, and it just seems like action follows. But somehow, in so many cases, two individuals who have not had time to make a plan and may have never met react in a way that they complement each other and do what needs to be done in the situation.
Wow.
So we also have the case of Benjamin Sachs. Benjamin Sachs helped to save a police officer from assault in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on February 25th, 2006. Now, a 24-year-old police officer had tackled the man he had been pursuing on a city street, took him to the pavement. The men struggled there, the officer calling for backup, as the man attempted to get the officer's duty weapon, which we see so often in these types of struggles. Mr. Sachs, was 21 at the time and a college student. He lived nearby, and he saw the latter part of the chase. So standing on the street, near where the men were struggling, he asked the officer if he needed help. He then approached the men and lay on the assailant's legs to help hold him down. The assailant grasped the officer's weapon and did fire it, the bullet passing through the gun's holster, striking Sachs in the left hand. Sachs got to his feet, backed away as two other officers approached. The assailant was subdued and arrested. The first officer recovered from lacerations and scrapes, and Mr. Sachs required hospital treatment for his wound, which was sutured, and he recovered. So,
wow.
I love to see these cases, Jim, where we see all different scenarios play out. We see, you know, heroic police officers, and we also see members of the community who act heroically to respond to an officer in distress.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that when you started telling me it's about a citizen helping a police officer rather than vice versa.
That's right, and certainly a member of the community has no obligation to do so. But, you know, so often it happens, and these are the stories that, you know, we think are so important to tell. We at the Hero Fund have seen the better angels of humanity express themselves over and over, and, you know, it's a counterbalance to what you may see from time to time and day to day, turn on the TV and watch the evening news. You know, you see so much about the darker aspects of human nature, and you see, you know, communities struggling with, you know, the police officers that protect them and vice versa. And so often, you know, the reality is a little bit more easier to take, and more than that, it's a great deal more optimistic in terms of where we are and where we hope to go.
Right. Well, we've just got about 5 minutes left. Let's hear from another hero.
I want to tell you next about the case of Robert A. Parenti, who saved Edward L. Ferguson from burning in Parker, Pennsylvania, April 6, 1968. And an automobile containing only Ferguson, who was 42, and a quarry shuttle operator, crashed through the front of a two-story frame dwelling, and after tearing away a chimney and severing a gas pipe, stopped with its right rear corner over a floor furnace, which was operating. A leaking gasoline ignited, and flames broke out at the rear of the vehicle. Mr. Parenti, Robert, was 24, a sales representative. He ran into the dwelling, into the automobile's left door, but he was unable to open it. A muffled explosion occurred under the front of the vehicle, and flames rose at its left side, forcing Parenti back. And the flames quickly subsided but spread toward the rear, while others appeared at openings on the crumpled hood. Parenti ran around the rear of the vehicle to the right side and aided Ferguson, who was badly dazed, out of the automobile. As Parenti was taking Ferguson away from the burning vehicle, another muffled explosion occurred. Flames increased and heat became intense. Parenti aided Ferguson out of the dwelling as firemen extinguished the flames. So a lot going on there in that.
Wow, and they were that had to be very quick and very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I think more than other places, Jim, and I've lived in a number of different places, I know you have, more vehicles running into buildings here because of the nature of the streets and the hills. But this one added a few elements of leaking gasoline and active furnaces and other things that really contribute to the danger for the rescuer.
Yeah, once an automobile is in an accident, you have that potential of leaking gas if it's gotten to the... But also now with the electric cars, they have a problem sometimes with the batteries starting to burn.
Very flammable and very difficult to extinguish.
Yeah. I'm just going to let everyone know that they should tune in next week when they will hear more about heroes. And Eric Zarin will be joining us again to talk about the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Jim.